This week on the BOAG World Show, we discuss staying motivated during the daily grind with Lee Howes. Ah, not that I'm implying Lee Howes makes your work the daily grind. Perhaps I should re-record this. Anyway, BOAG World is proudly supported by Dev Bootcamp, the original immersive coding program that will transform you from a beginner to a full-stack web developer. Head over to devbootcamp.com/BOAG World to learn more. We're also supported by FreeAgent, the accounting software for small businesses and freelancers, recommended by 99.5% of its users, including me. Welcome to BOAGworld.com. I can't be bothered.
I didn't say.
I mean, we're doing
lackluster. That was.
Yeah, we're doing a podcast on being motivated, and as you so beautifully put it earlier, Lee, when I invited you on the show, it's like, pleh.
Oh, I say you're stealing my joke.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's how it works. Did you not know?
Yeah,
Paul's the boss. He can do what he likes.
I don't. Well, I'm not the boss anymore.
You're just the boss of me. The podcast.
Ooh, am I really? Ooh, that's boss. Good. Yeah. I didn't know that.
The boss caster. I would have made...
So as you have gathered, we have got Lee Howes on the show.
Hello.
He was very much a backup option, let's be honest.
The fallback standing guy is here again.
Because, I mean, it was supposed to be Cameron Mole.
Can you cheer up, Paul, please?
Sorry?
Can you cheer up and sound more happy?
No, I'm not. I'm disappointed because Cameron's not here. And I've got to settle for you. And really, you know...
So, Lee, all that stuff last time about you're always going to be on the first show of every series because you're the most important, blah, blah, blah. It's all lies.
It's lies.
Well, of course it is.
I mean, surely
you realised that when I said it.
Obviously. Don't believe a word you say, Paul. Generally.
Well, yeah, well, you know,
who
exactly.
Does?
Hello, it's good to have you back, Lee.
Sorry, are you now lying better? Or
I was lying before when I was being unhappy.
Okay. Aww.
You see, this week's show, so first of all, dear listener, Cameron can't be here. He's having a personal thing that he's having to deal with, which I think is code for I don't really want to go on the show, and I'm going to see if I can put him off, you know, and avoid it. That's what I think.
Okay. Probably best not go along that line any further.
Oh, Marcus obviously really believes that. No, he's already booked in. He's booked in for, I think it's episode 8. So we will get him on the show, but he had stuff he had to do today. You know how things, you know, you get emergencies that you come up and you can't always get around them. So yes, Cameron's not with us today, but we've got Lee on instead, which is much better. Because what we've done is we've changed the topic of the show. Today it was all supposed to be about craftsmanship and really...
Yeah, you know, that's not you, is it, Lee? Hey?
Lee doesn't know anything about that. So we couldn't do that. But I thought, what does Lee know about? And I thought, well, out of everyone I know, he's probably the best procrastinator of anyone I've ever met.
Oh, it's vicious.
And so I will share with him some of my top tips for staying motivated.
Oh, I see the angle now. You're going to motivate me on this show.
Yeah, right. I think you need some motivation.
Right.
Is where I'm going with this.
I get
motivate
it.
Motivate your passion, Lee.
I thought you wanted me to share my motivational tips, which was a bit of a worry, to be honest.
I thought the season's supposed to be about passion, it's supposed to be about success, and it's supposed to be about motivation, We haven't done much on motivation yet, so I wanted to look at that, share some motivational ideas, talk about how we remain motivated when, let's be honest, when you reach our age, you stop caring. So we'll talk about how you keep caring anyway. But before we get on to that, I've got a problem. I'm missing you guys.
Really?
Of course.
To be more specific, I'm missing Chris. I need to come back to Headscape. It's all gone horribly wrong.
I don't believe a word of it.
Unless you've spent all the money, Chris, Paul, is that what you've done?
Yes, that is pretty much what I've done.
Oh, I see.
So I went out spending today.
That normally makes you happy, Paul.
I know, but I shouldn't have. You know how you kind of talk yourself round to doing things?
Well, yeah, always needed for the business, testing and stuff like that, yeah.
Exactly. So a little while ago, I bought a DSLR. And when I bought it, I was torn between a DSLR, which to do all the video stuff I do, you know, I do lots of video stuff. And also, but then there was this really kind of sexy little kind of Sony jobby that wasn't kind of quite appropriate for the video work. Okay. So I bought the DSLR and I did the sensible thing. And then I came back from Thailand, I took the DSLR to Thailand. And it's a really good camera, but, you know, it's a bit heavy and a bit awkward. And then I got back and then I tried to set it up again for the video work. And it took me at least 20 minutes to get it back the way it was. And
that
so
long?
Yeah, I know. So the only thing I could conclude is, well, I can't be faffing around with this every time, so I'm going to have to buy myself that little sexy Sony camera too.
Mm. I did the
Justified so beautifully.
And so I just put it on the business because there isn't Chris to stop me. And this is the problem.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. My little Fujifilm camera I bought myself.
Yeah.
Because I can't... Lugging around one of those great big DSLRs is just a pain.
It is. I'd like to think I'm the kind of photographer that would do that. But to be frank, I'm just not that good.
No, me neither. snap, that's all I need.
Yeah. I bet you've got a DSLR. I bet Lee carries a DSLR around. He's an arty type.
I will continue because there's something about looking at a viewfinder. I need to hide behind a camera.
But that's what I like about this little Sony one. It's got a pop-up viewfinder.
No, it's not big enough, though. It doesn't hide you very well.
No, it doesn't. This is true. No, I'd certainly, when I next go to a wedding, I'll be taking the DSLR.
And you need to look like, you know, you're using a proper camera if you're going to sit behind the viewfinder. Otherwise, you look like you're looking through a viewfinder on your phone or something, which looks a bit weird.
Yeah.
My one looks like a little proper camera with a viewfinder, I might add. And it's basically so that when you're out in bright sunlight, you can actually see what you're taking.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, viewfinder's really important. Yeah. Also, I mean, the other problem, the one advantage DSLRs do have over the little Sony is you can buy ridiculously big lenses.
Well, yeah, but then that just adds to the luggery, doesn't it? That's the problem. Yeah. I've got a bag with about four lenses and it weighs about a stone.
I know, but, you know, it compensates, doesn't it, having a big lens like that?
For...
Do I really need to spell it out, Marcus?
It's like owning a Porsche.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Do you think so? I think it just makes you look like a bigger nerd.
Well, pretty much like a Porsche then.
Well, yeah, it's the same.
Just
sort of
a different type of nerd,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Hey, so but I've been loving doing this video stuff. I finally got good at it now, after blooming months and months and months of producing terrible video. They're quite good quality. Lee, you commented on how wonderful my videos
were.
Yeah, well,
you got it good with the SLR because it actually had some depth of field. So
yeah,
that's
what made the big difference.
Can you do that with the Sony? Oh, no, you're not going to use the Sony for the video.
No, no, I won't.
You're going to carry on with the SLR.
But the Sony can do depth of field. It could go down. Its f-stop goes down to 1.8, which is pretty good.
But the actual physics of it can't give you much depth of field.
I don't know how it does it. Don't ask complicated questions like that. But no, it's working really well. The combination of doing nice depth of field, a DSLR as well, the colour balance is so much better than the old video camera I used to have. And I've got a couple of lights. All I've got is DSLR, a couple of lights, and a lapel mic that can plug into the DSLR, which you can't plug into the Sony. And you can produce really good quality videos.
Yeah, although you are using the depth of field the wrong way around, Paul, because you're in focus and the background's out of focus. Just swap those two round, I think we might be onto something.
Be a lot better, will it? You think people will watch a lot longer?
Yeah.
He's got Star Wars figures on his desk.
A clock or something with a second hand going round. Much more interesting.
Really, I should just put up, like, keynote slides instead, so you don't have to see my face at all.
We could be down in the corner, couldn't you?
It is true that I don't really have the face for video, do I? Yes, silence. Thanks a lot, guys. You know, you just run to my defence.
But my point is, you're asking the wrong people, Paul.
There you are.
But my point is, there is a point here, which is there's really no excuse now for people not to be doing video on their websites, because you can produce really good, simple video yourself. Like, and even, like, I bought a little thing off of Amazon that you can put an iPad on and it turns it into a teleprompter. I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, is video always appropriate, Paul?
No, not always. Of course. Are you talking in my case specifically or just generally?
Generally.
No, obviously not. But my point is that don't you find so many of our clients just churn out endless amounts of copy when a nice little video in a presentation would be so good? And it's not that difficult to learn these days, especially clients that do, have run blogs and stuff. You think a bit of video would just mix it up, a few interviews, like that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think part of the problem here is people, it's not the camera, it's not the lights, although those things are important. It's about presentation and being interesting and being able to present. Whereas, you know, that takes a lot of skill, and no amount of good quality kit will, you know, be able to make people present well.
No, I suppose so. But on the other hand, when you're just talking about something like a interview, I mean, you don't need to be a good presenter to do an interview, do you?
No, I suppose not.
It's good editing is what you need.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Sorry, Lee?
I was just going to say, sorry. I think there's a perception that it's harder work than it probably is once you start going at it.
Yeah.
And there's so much to compare against that would make you feel kind of inferior to other video that you're seeing online. But yeah, if you compared your writing against other writing online, you might appear inferior. But, you know, blogs were supposed to be short and snappy. And I suppose video, it can be just as short and snappy, and doesn't need massive production. It's a variation, isn't it?
It's really not that difficult. In answer to your question, Marcus, of what I use, I mean, to be honest, you could use ScreenFlow or something like that. It's perfectly adequate.
True, for that's what I use for my video together.
It's you know, it does the job.
Those walkthroughs are a good example, because if you had to write down the walkthrough, it would take you forever. So yeah, it's actually quicker to video some things. It's quicker to talk it through than it is to write it all down. Yeah. I guess, Paul, that's what you've got good at. It must be quicker for you to talk. I mean, you do dictate, don't you? So,
I do, yeah. And actually, increasingly now with my videos, I am writing it down and then reading it off a teleprompter with the videos. But it's still a lot quicker than doing a blog post, because you don't edit it and all the rest of it.
People, you know, you can't
don't
pick have to you go up through spelling mistakes.
No, you don't have to worry about any of that. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
This is all very interesting, but Paul, what else have you bought? Do you own an iPad Pro, for example?
Of course he does.
Might do.
See, he does, doesn't he? Yeah. Have you got all the different types of iPad up next to each other on the desk?
Yeah, absolutely. I line them up for testing purposes. You understand?
You've got a use case for every single device Apple make, haven't you?
Yeah, they've all got their place. Yeah. I was trying to justify to my wife. She drew a line in the sand when I said I needed to get an iMac and a MacBook and get rid of my MacBook Pro. That apparently was a step too far.
I'm not sure about this. I saw you mention MacBook. The MacBook in the Slack channel the other day.
Yeah.
I don't understand, other than the fact they've got a Retina screen, I'll give you that, but I don't understand why you'd have one of those over the little MacBook Air.
Because it's newer?
Because it's new, yes, sorry, yes, silly me.
Well, I haven't noticed any difference with my MacBook 13 and my MacBook Air. It's a little bit thicker, but I still carry it around in exactly the same way that I used to my Air. It's only bit heavier.
No, but the MacBook, so the new MacBook, is the little tiny one with no power or sockets.
I don't think either of you are listening to me. It's newer. It's newer.
Yes.
Yes. Sorry.
I don't understand what you're not getting about this.
I've just worked out why you sound weird, Paul, because I've been hearing your voice kind of 1.8 speed on the podcast, so you sound really slow and quite depressed. You sound like Marvin the Paranoid Android to me at the moment, because I'm used to you going...
You mean you don't cherish every word that we say? You listen to us sped up?
Yes. Actually, you sound a bit like you've had a stroke, Paul. Are you all right? Is it just the 1.8 speed that I've got used to? Does he sound the right to you, Marcus?
I don't listen to podcasts, so I don't listen to
you. You don't listen to me either.
Well, okay.
I do listen to you, Paul. And
do I sound any different to normal to you?
No. It's just Lee.
There you go. It's good. Just Lee.
But
it's
me.
Thank you for your concern, Lee.
Paul, if you feel like you really are missing us and you want to just come in and whenever you want to buy something new, just come in and just talk to Chris about it. And he'll, even though it has nothing to do with him, he'll still try and persuade you out of it because it's just his nature.
That's true.
And we'll all...
No, I'm not going to do that because I want to buy my gadgets. Well, anyway, talking of spending money, I need to talk about our sponsors because I need their money in order to buy my gadgets. So I want to talk about Dev Bootcamp. So if you're thinking about becoming a software developer, you really should check out the guys at Dev Bootcamp, not exclusively, because they do remote training as well, but especially if you're in the US, all right? Dev Bootcamp, if you haven't come across them before, if you haven't been listening to the previous works, is a kind of tailored software development program that will take you from being an absolute beginner all the way through to being able to code, you know, full stack web development, job ready to go out and get a job, you know, tomorrow. But just to say, and I hadn't warned people of this in the previous weeks, this is not for the faint-hearted, right? This is a 9-week intensive course on campus. You go into their campuses. They've got campuses in San Francisco, New York, Chicago, San Diego, Seattle, and Austin. And you will do between 60 and 80 hours a week. That's like double what I work. That's a lot of work, isn't it?
That's a hell of a lot of work, actually, yeah.
Flip
well,
me.
They work all night or something because it's.
I don't know.
That's what you do.
Well, they talk about. Well, you can view it one of two ways. You could either go, not doing that amount of work, or you can go, you're getting good value for money.
That's true.
It all depends on how you look at it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is.
That's
a
what
camp.
I like to think.
It's meant to be tough.
Sorry, Lee?
It is a boot camp. They're supposed to be tough, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what it is, see?
Yeah.
So, and they tailor the course to every student because obviously we all have different strengths and weaknesses. So it's not like signing up for Team Treehouse. Well, good though Team Treehouse is. But, you know, everybody goes through the same process of that. You've got the same learning. This is like a tailored course to you, you know, and you're kind of hands-on in a campus. You've got lectures, you do pair programming, you do group work. You even towards the end, you pitch different ideas and then you build a product. So it's a really good interactive experience. So if you want to become a web developer, I highly recommend checking these guys out at devbootcamp.com/BoagWorld, where you can learn more. I'm very exciting. It will be too. There you go. So. Now we come on to what we're supposed to be talking about today, which is we're supposed to be talking about staying motivated, right? And this is a bit last minute. So it's obviously professionally thought through.
Motivators, Paul. Motivators.
You're quite good at being at motivating yourself, Paul, because Lee and I aren't. We're a pair of lazy asses, really.
Oh, I've got better.
Have you?
Yeah. Yeah,
are you just saying that?
No, I could tell you about my new thing.
Go on then, tell us about your new thing.
I've been using this habit sort of tracking or habit forming
software.
Oh,
I know the kind of thing. Yeah, if you miss a day, you've got this big like gap in the timeline.
I've got about 30 things on my list I have to do a day now. It's getting a bit mental, but just little things, like each day I have to read a chapter of my novel and a chapter of a textbook and listen to a chapter of my audiobook, and I'm kind of powering through things just by doing this little bit of different things a day.
But does it mean your entire day is absolutely regimented?
No, because I do it
6:45.
I do it whenever I do it whenever I have a break. If you work sort of 50 minutes, have a 10-minute break. But rather than just sort of staring into space or getting a cup of tea, I might practice the guitar for 10 minutes. Ooh. But all those little bits, for me, really work quite well. Because if I sit down to read a... Well, I don't. I don't sit down and think, I'm going to read this book today. It just never happens. That magical period of time is never there. But just reading a chapter quickly, and some of those chapters can be quite short, you know, just means I do the thing I wouldn't do because it's become a big impossible thing. And I've read about 4 or 5
How long have you been doing this?
About a month.
You've been doing it for a month? Wow.
Yeah, you did use the word my novel then, or words.
I when I said my novel.
Are you writing a book?
The novel which I am reading.
Right, okay.
I've got to write 250 words a day as well, which I've been doing for a month as well, on anything. And I've written a couple of short stories in 250 words, so, you know, it's just practicing writing. Which again becomes a big impossible task if you're not writing all the time. So it's just kind of breaking things down.
That's good to know.
It's working for me anyway.
Lee, you're writing. I like that. So I can ask you to write things.
See, now you're going to take all the joy out of it by making him do it.
Yeah, if I have to do it, that'll be different. Although I am kind of, this kind of listing does pressurise you a little bit. I don't know
what's
why.
What's it called?
Why is it? Why does
I
it
could
work?
Do with something like this.
There's loads of them. Just search for habit, just habit tasks or trainer or something.
I've got one that I haven't opened that I installed. It's called Productive, and I've installed the app. I can see it on my screen. I've never actually clicked on the icon. I'm not motivated enough. I just know if I click on it, it's going to open a can of worms and. Before I know it, I'm going to be doing yoga at 5 o'clock in the morning.
You'll have a list of 60 things.
You'll be
self-flagellating yourself. Yeah. Well, you're quite motivated to get through loads of stuff anyway, aren't you?
I do use tricks that help me. I'm not as motivated as people think I am. I go through... Well, let's go through a few of the things. You guys... Lee, you must have done this. Have you ever used the Pomodoro technique?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it really works when I've done it, yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Marcus, I bet you've... Have you heard of it?
It's tomato, isn't it?
Yes, it's this... Yeah, you smear yourself with tomato, Marcus. It works. Give it a try.
Yes, I know what it is. You work for a specific amount of time, then stop, no matter whether you're... You know, whether you want to stop or not, you have to stop at that point and have a break.
Yeah, that was my
problem.
Start
again for another period of time.
Yeah.
So you work for 25 minutes, take a 5-minute break, and it works really well. It works well for a couple of reasons, or I think it does. First of all, it works well because you become a little bit obsessed with how many Pomodoro sprints you can do in a day, and it became a little bit of a kind of competition with myself of whether I could do more than yesterday, etc. And the other reason I really like it is because some days you sit down at your desk and you go, oh, I just cannot be bothered today. In fact, normally I don't even make it as far as the desk. It's, you know, I'm sitting in bed going,
it's your first waking moment.
Yeah. As my eyes blink open and, you know, well, I say blink open, they're gooed up, you know, with the kind of grunge of sleep. And I say, I don't want to face that. And I say to myself, look, I'm just going to do one Pomodoro sprint. All I've got to do is one, 25 minutes work. And then we'll reassess after that. But of course, once you get over the hurdle of starting, it's then so much easier. And just the action of kind of breaking down what you're doing into little, you were saying it, Lee, little blocks.
That's what you just said, getting started. So that is always the problem, isn't it?
Mm, absolutely. So Pomodoro is definitely something you want to check out if you've never come across it before. Essentially, boils down to working 25 minutes, taking a 5-minute break. There are various, variations of it. So after about four sprints, you take a 15-minute break. But the key is, over that 25 minutes, you do nothing else other than work. You don't, you know, pop to the loo, you don't check email, you don't do anything, you just work. And the downside of it is, if your family interrupts you mid-Pomodoro sprint, you tend to go ballistic. Because it means you lose that sprint and you have to start it again, you see.
See, I'm just not, I'm not that disciplined enough. If I got interrupted,
to work 25 minutes?
No. To say to myself, if I don't know, I was interrupted for a minute, to go, oh well, that one doesn't count. I'd just say, yeah, that's all right. I didn't really get interrupted for long. That'll still it still counts.
Okay, so Pomodoro technique is not for Marcus. I'm going to find one technique that will work with Marcus.
See, I start every day in a really kind of like, yeah, kind of let's get on with it kind of way. And then I'm normally sort of by about 10:30 thinking,
half 10, that late, wow.
So I was the complete opposite of Paul, I suppose.
Yeah, it takes me time to get going.
Yeah, and that's why I get up earlier and earlier these days. I've started work earlier and earlier because I finally get more and more done. And it is usually by late morning I'm thinking, what can I do now? And I've normally finished a load of things. This comes back to the starting things. It's because it's when if I've got a big document I'm writing, if I finish that document at 10 a.m., it's like, what should I do now? And there's a load of things I've got to do, but it's just like, it's starting. And one of the things I've always done, because I write loads of documents, is a really major thing for me is just to create the new document and give it a name. Thing exists then.
And that's
my way of starting. It's just literally just to create a document, even if I might do that while I'm still working on something else, because I know it's coming up.
That reminds me of another good one that I learned. Someone taught me years and years ago, and actually has been really good, which is that, and this is the problem, this wouldn't work as well for you, but with me, because I find starting in the morning so difficult, I now try and end a day with something half finished.
Mm.
Because then when I come and sit down in the morning, it's like, it's that you know, it's that you're not having to start from scratch over
pick
something.
It up. That's a very sensible idea. Yeah, I mean, I think I probably do that without realizing it. But then, yeah, I'm going to try and do exactly that and mean to do it. That's a really good idea.
It works really well, that one. The other one that you kind of touched on, which I think is quite an important one, I do think it helps to kind of understand your own natural bodily cycle, if that makes sense. So, you know, I know that I'm better in the evenings. You know that you're better in the mornings. Mm. And not to kind of fight that. I mean, that's one of the best things about doing what we do, is that, you know, unless you're kind of working in an office or whatever, you've got some flexibility over your working times. And like you say, you start earlier and earlier and I work later and later.
Yeah, I mean, I used to work really late when the kids were young, because it was the only time that I kind of had any time to myself. But I've gone completely the other way around. I'm normally asleep by 10 o'clock every night.
For me, it depends on the time of year. I can get up at 5 in the summer, but I can't do that in the winter. Just feels
wrong. Yeah, I don't like getting up when it's dark. Give me that.
No, it feels really miserable. Yeah. But for summer, I love getting up early. And then I'm a morning person. But in the winter, I'm an evening person. So I'm a mixture of you two.
But I also find that this is going to sound odd. I was going to say I really like working on the weekends. I don't really like working on the weekends. But I find I get so much done that a top 2 or 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon, I will get as much done in a whole day I would during the week. And it's, you know, I know why.
No one's on Slack.
Yeah, no one's on Slack. I'm not looking at email. The phone doesn't ring. Yeah. But it's just, and I think that's another reason why I like to start early. Because all of those things, the distractions aren't there.
Yeah.
Why can't you just close all those notifications down?
Because I don't want to.
You might miss something.
But I mean, that is such a big thing to do, isn't it? I mean, how many times did that used to? I suppose sure it still does happen at Headscape. I say used to because obviously you cease to exist now that I'm not there. You know, but how many times would an email go around saying turning off everything, got to get stuff done? And I just think that's, you know, that's one of the best motivational tips you can do is just take, you know, hide those distractions away from you.
Yeah, and I do that occasionally. But I feel, I think it would just be in my mind that I turned it all off, just generally.
Right.
And that would just nag at me. If I have a very specific task with a short deadline, then yeah, okay, I'll tell everyone I've turned everything off. But that's different to doing it all the time.
It's less motivation and more panic stations, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Well, I mean, that is a good motivator, is panic, committing yourself to a deadline.
Absolutely. Yeah, trouble is, here's the question. When did you do your homework? If you had homework given to you on a Friday, when did you do it?
I did it Friday.
You didn't, did you?
I did.
Lee?
The morning before I had to be handed in at 5 a.m.
You're exactly the same as me then. on the way to school on Monday.
I
would just worry about it. It would be the whole weekend I'd spend worrying about when I'm going to do the homework.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No, I was ruined my not weekend. Worrying about it at all. Yeah. Or possibly not even remember it existed until that morning. Oh!
Yeah.
And now what am I doing? Lecturing my son on how he should do it on the Friday evening. Don't leave it till the last minute. Oh, such a hypocrite.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, the whole thing of set, kind of making yourself accountable to deadlines, you know, whether it be to a client or to a colleague or whatever else, I think makes a huge difference. I swear, you know, I do these mentorship I mentor various people. Mm-hmm. A big part of what I do is basically saying, okay, what are you going to do by the next time we have a call? And just doing that, just them being, you know, accountable to someone else and going, oh crap, Paul's going to tell me off if I haven't done what I'm supposed to do by the next call, makes a huge difference. It really, really does.
Yeah, I was thinking of going to guitar lessons because I've never had a proper guitar lesson, but mainly because of that kind of weekly, you've got to do it because you're going to go and be confronted with a teacher who's going to expect you to have practiced something.
Yeah.
Because you can teach it yourself a million different ways, but you need a bit of a driving force.
Yeah.
Someone being slightly disappointed at you. As you make excuses for them.
I'm having a time this week.
I'm much more than slightly disappointed. I tut and everything. So, okay, here's a question. Do you do the thing where you say, if I finish this, then I get a whisper?
Yes. Sorry, a whisper. Are we talking about chocolate?
Well, not specifically a whisper, but you reward yourself with some food or...
Yes, I have Bacon Friday.
Well, if it's every Friday, then it's not motivational.
No, but I have to have swum at least 4 miles. Because the bacon lives on islands, and they're 4 miles apart, you see. So I have to swim to the next island, which has got bacon on it, and then I can have the bacon. But if I've only swum 3 miles, no. The
bacon, you get eaten by
bacon
sharks,
goes
then?
Off, yeah, and then I have to start the next week on a new bit of ocean with a new bacon island.
Perfect. That is normal, possibly the weirdest yet coolest thing I've ever heard you say, Lee.
But it works. It motivates me.
Yeah.
See how motivated I am?
I am genuinely
wasn't
impressed, Lee. I really am.
It's only because Marcus wants someone like him in the conversation. He thought he'd have an ally in you, but he hasn't got it.
I know. Well, the Bacon Island thing with me, it would be... It was like you were saying, if I got interrupted on the Pomodoro sprint, I would say it then didn't exist. With me, if I was doing that, if I did 3.5 miles, well, that's good enough.
No, because you're not at the island, Marcus.
The island doesn't exist, Lee.
It does. It does exist.
That's
got
the problem
bacon on it and everything.
I have with this, okay?
You're I'm lying to a fundamental to flaw in Marcus's personality.
It's not a flaw. I'm realistic.
See, there's another one on this list that I know in theory should work really well for you, but in practice doesn't, which is... If I'm really lacking, you know, that kind of, for me, it's always kind of post-lunch. I get this post-lunch lull. I get over that by putting music on really loudly. But for you, music's just a distraction, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've found that because Dan always plays music in the office, and I don't tend to like much of what Dan plays, so it's okay, it doesn't distract me. But as soon as he puts on something I like, I'm just listening to the music. It's just, that's just me. It doesn't work for me. I think if I had certain types of task, and I do them very rarely, work well with music, but most of what I do is writing words. So the two don't go together, for me anyway.
Well, but the thing is I play instrumental.
Yeah.
Yeah, that still would probably...
Yeah, I can't listen to any words.
And but so, I do find, yeah. if I mid-afternoon, I'm beginning to struggle. If I whack on some kind of high-powered, high-energy instrumental music, then that picks me up, gets me going again.
Yeah, but I analyse music, I pull it apart.
Yeah, so, there is that.
I can understand that,
actually. Or I'll be interested, what was that? And I'll think, I could use that on something. So it's a distraction.
Right. I'm ashamed. I have that problem as well.
It's not, that's not, got nothing to do with lazy tendencies or anything like that. It's just, it just doesn't work for me. But yeah,
I've got one.
I think a lot of people do.
I've got one that's going to work with you.
Okay.
Right. This one's definitely work. Take a break. Stop doing what you're doing and go put your feet up for a bit.
Yeah, I do that every now and then.
See, I knew that one would work. just go and take a walk away from it. Because it's true, isn't it? Sometimes you can... I get into this almost sadomasochistic thing of, you're feeling really knackered, you're really done in, you're unmotivated. No, I must keep going. I must. And I think sometimes that's the worst thing you can do. I think sometimes you need to take a break, go off, do something else, and then come back to it later.
Well, that's always been the case, isn't it? That you're going at a problem and it's getting slower and slower and slower, and then you stop. Then the next morning, you sort it out in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm. It's just always been the way it goes.
And there's a kind of one that's very close to that, which I like as well, which is task switching. So if I can't take a break because I've got too much on, then I just shift to another task for half an hour, do that, and then go back.
Yeah, that's very much me.
Do that all the time, but the problem with that is you tend to avoid the most difficult one.
Yeah.
And you end up on the most difficult one in the end, and there's nothing else to turn to. or there is, like making tea.
Is making tea on this list, by the way, Paul?
That came under have a break.
Have a high-caffeinated sugary drink, in your case.
Yes. I shouldn't admit this. But when I came back from Thailand, I was really struggling. So I resorted to caffeine pills.
Oh, what?
I didn't even know these things existed. Junkie. It's just not good.
Well, not Pro Plus or something.
Oh, they're hideous, Paul.
I know.
Bad, bad man.
Well, it's no worse than actually. It's an average cup of coffee has 80 to 100 milligrams of caffeine in, and their caffeine pill only has milligrams.
Yeah, and the cup of coffee, I wonder whether you're actually drinking it. May be in the coffee, but whether it all absorbs into you in the same way, I don't know. Same with tea's got more caffeine in it than coffee has, but your body doesn't absorb it.
I think there's a lot of excuses going on there.
Yeah, but I can't complain. I'm sitting here puffing away on a fag, so...
don't lecture me about caffeine pills. Yeah, anyway, that's not an answer to being motivated, kids.
Absolutely. Cigarettes are brilliant for motivation.
Oh, shut up.
They are.
Yeah, you have to work hard to pay for them because they're so expensive.
But let's not
And life's going to be shorter, so you've got to do it more quickly.
Yeah, exactly, Lee.
So, okay, Marcus, if you got a big job like a proposal,
yes,
do you mentally break it down into smaller tasks to make it feel more manageable? So do you like go, okay, well, today I'm just going to do an outline and tomorrow I'll do a rough draft and then the day after I'll do an edit?
No.
Do you do that kind of thing or do you just see it as one big thing?
A bit of both, but the majority of proposals are based on another proposal. So therefore you're kind of, you've already got quite a lot of the structure of the document there.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're kind of filling in the bits that are relevant to this particular RFP that you're responding to. But
well, all right, then. So what about a digital strategy or a website review or something like that? Do you tend to break them down?
That always starts off with an outline, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Because, I mean, for me, that makes things so much bigger. If I'm faced by a big, oh, I've got to write a digital strategy, which can be running, you know, can run into like 60, 70 pages. Mm. It just feels so overwhelming that starting something like that is impossible unless you're kind of mentally saying, all right, I'm just going to do this part of it, or, you know, breaking it down into subtasks.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with doing that, though, I mean, I guess this is the job of the editor, which is usually Chris in my case, is that you can end up repeating yourself a lot. If you think, I'm just going to write this bit, and then you know, then 2 days later you write that bit, and that, and then there's a lot of repetition going on. It doesn't flow very well as a document. That's why I was a bit umming and ahhing about it.
I don't break it down in that way. I don't say I'm just going to write this section or this section. I do it in terms of fidelity with a document. Mm. So I'm going to do just a few bullet points, or I'm just going to do the sections. Mm. Then I'm going to do bullet points within the sections. Then I'm going to write a rough draft, and then I'm going to edit it. Mm. And then I'm going to read it back to myself to make sure it's okay. You know, something like that.
Yeah, pretty much that, yeah.
Mm. Do you... Right, okay, that's a good one.
That actually, just to add to that, I mean, that goes back to what I was saying earlier about just create the document and give it a name is a really good thing to get you started. But it, those steps of, and then create the headings and then create the subheadings, da 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 da, does make it... It does feel like you're getting somewhere and it's not this enormous... Yeah.
You're creating a plan, like you used to have to create essay plans before you wrote an essay. You've got something to structure it on, and then that kind of helps you think it all through, get going.
Do you? I think this might be a dangerous one for Marcus. Mm. No, and now we're learning a little bit more about how Marcus views the world. Mm. But this one works well for me. I will decide at the beginning of the day what I want to do for that day, and then I will. Once I'm done with that, I stop, irrespective of what time it is. So that motivates me to keep going. But I think if you were allowed to do that, then essentially you would only put two things on the list.
That's not true. You're reading me wrong, Paul. It's all just for comedic value.
Uh-huh.
I've always got more on my task list than I can do in a day.
Yeah, of course, we all have. But you pick what in that day you're going to do.
No, I don't do that.
No, you don't do that.
I've heard lots of people say that you have to write down the day's tasks and, you know, that gets you started. I've never done that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I do tend... I'm often restarting a list of tasks just to, or prioritise them, I suppose, is what I'm doing. I quite like the idea of... If you give yourself a bunch of stuff and then you finish it and then you're finished. But I don't do that. No, I'm more conscientious of that, Paul.
Make a list of Pomodoros or something?
Well, you can do, yeah. If you do, you're depending on how seriously you take Pomodoros.
That sounds like hard work, that does. Deciding what the whole day of Pomodoros is going to be.
Yeah, I don't think I'm that committed to it. But what I do is I sit down at the beginning of each day, because I have a massive to-do list, and I go through and flag the ones that I'm going to do that day.
Yeah.
And once I've done that, I mean, some days, you know, I do it by, I don't know, 3 o'clock. Other days I'm going until 7. So it balances out roughly right, but I just find that keeps me motivated.
If my day consisted of just me doing stuff, then maybe that's a workable thing. But you know, Chris will call for an hour when I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, well, that's because Chris never shuts up.
for example, or I'll suddenly think, oh, I need to do that, and that means I need to talk to Emma or whoever or Lee. And that'll turn into a meeting that wasn't planned previously and all this kind of thing.
It's being agile, Marcus. Agile.
Yeah, which is fine. I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying it just makes it... I worry about getting too in depth on I'm planning to do this today, and then thinking, I haven't done all that stuff because
then you can just only fail, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I failed.
But then what? The way that I get around that is that I leave myself wiggle room in the day, right? So I don't necessarily plan 8 hours worth of work. I plan 6 hours of work, knowing that a couple will be wasted. And if I get really lucky and don't have any meetings or interruptions, I get to knock off 2 hours early.
Yeah, I mean, you're just much more organised.
Conscientious.
No.
Organised. Better human being.
Well, no, I was the opposite, really, Paul, is what I was
the opposite of that.
Yep, selfish, self-centred.
Only
worried about yourself.
Very autistic.
All of those that you... Asperger's, OCD.
I've always been slightly jealous of the fact... Because you used to fill up your calendar with, this afternoon I'm doing X, and tomorrow morning I'm doing Y.
Still do that a bit.
And to the point of, I can't therefore speak to you because I'm doing X or Y.
Yeah.
And I can't do that. That's just not me. I have more of an open door than that.
Yeah, I'm a miserable shit. No.
There you go. See, I was going to.
But you have a to-do list item that says, don't be a miserable shit, don't you? And, like, review your relationships with the world and people. Review marriage. Review happiness. These are tasks for you, aren't they, Paul?
Yeah, I do. I do review my relationship with the world, and I conclude I'm quite happy with the way it is. But I review it.
Be nice to my wife for 10 minutes.
Yes, that was really
that is one of my tasks. She only gets 10 minutes, mine.
Obviously.
Well, I'm a busy guy. I've got gadgets to buy.
That
takes up a lot of time. Can you imagine the number of, times I have to answer the door to collect deliverables every day? Deliverables? Deliveries. Hey, another one. Do you care? My most satisfying list that I have. Oh, God. How sad does that make me sad?
My satisfying list.
You're a machine, Paul. You're a machine.
One of my most satisfying lists are my completed task list. Do you have one of those? So at the end of the day, you can go, I did this.
Oh, I do like ticking things off. I don't keep
them. Yeah, see?
Yeah,
sometimes I add things just so I can tick it off because it feels good.
Once they've gone from my head.
Yeah, they've gone.
Yeah, but then you don't feel like you've achieved anything.
But I did momentarily. Perhaps,
did momentarily.
Yeah, it was momentarily. It's like, brilliant, right, move on.
But I want to have little parties through the day and then a big party at the end of the day when I know how much I've done.
A big party, isn't that good? Yeah, I suppose I'm not as... Organised isn't the right word. What's the word I'm looking for?
Anal?
could be that. It's more of a sort of like, I can't measure with data whether I've had a good day or a bad day. I can just sort of say, that was a good day. Or
you're instinctual.
Yes, I didn't get much done today. And I guess, the same thing applies. If I think, that's been a good day, then that's a good feeling. Definitely. Mm. I'm just not so measured about it.
I'll tell you another one. Now, this one I don't do, but I've heard other people rave about it. I did try it once, didn't really fit me, which is all of the tasks in your task list, you associate with them an energy level, right? So, this takes a lot of energy, it doesn't take very much. And then you, depending on how you feel in the day, if you're lacking energy, you can just bring up all of those stupid little tasks that don't take a lot of effort. Well, if you're full of energy, you can go, right, let's give me something big to do. What do you reckon of that?
I thought you did do that, to be honest.
I did try it.
I think I do that without doing it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. You kind of do it instinctively, don't you, really? Yeah. That's quite an interesting one.
Although, I've just contradicted myself on the... On the task that you really don't want to do, I do tend to just avoid.
Well, exactly, but that's the thing. That was why it never worked for me, is because, basically every time I sat down, it was like, oh, no, I haven't got a lot of energy. I don't think I ever said to myself, wow, I'm full of energy today. give me a really difficult task to do.
Yeah.
Which kind of undermines the whole thing, doesn't it?
Hmm.
So that one didn't work for me.
But interest level might be different.
Another one that didn't work for me was having be clear on what your goals should look like. Right?
Oh, I know what it should look like. An island with bacon on.
Yeah, with that actually...
Palm trees and a big frying pan and bacon in the middle with a nice BAP on the side on a blue plate.
A blue plate?
Very clear. It's got to be blue.
Blue. All
plates are blue.
Plates should be whitely.
No. It's all wrong, Marcus. It's all wrong.
Food look, your goal look is wrong. A blue plate.
But so obviously, Lee does this. You visualise, do you, Lee? You're a visualiser.
Totally.
There you go.
Very visual person. Me.
So it works for you. That's good. That doesn't work for me.
Be clear on what you've got. I don't really understand that.
Well, it's this kind of idea. I don't either.
Looks like you lying down, not working, doesn't it?
I think the idea is, you know, that you shouldn't start up. That if you visualise what the end product will look like, it motivates you to get towards it because it's a good thing.
Okay.
It's all a bit. It's not practical enough for me, that one.
Mm.
The other one that it just is a bit kind of arty-farty fairy is this kind of identify and address your obstacles. So if you get stuck and you can't be asked, sit down and say, why can't I be asked? What's stopping me proceeding? And then address what that obstacle is. But surely if you can't be asked, you can't be asked to identify what your obstacles are, and you certainly can't be asked to address them.
What if it's sunny outside and I'd like to be out there instead of in here?
Then you're addressing the obstacle would be to close the curtains.
Yeah, that would
but
work.
You still know that it was sunny outside.
No, and then read some articles about skin cancer.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one, Lee. I like that.
Okay.
Addressed. So that one doesn't work. Now, what does this brings me to the very last one, which goes back to your point of what you just said, Marcus. Change your work environment. Go and work outside in the sun.
Tried that, but I find it's. I just felt uncomfortable. I've got a really nice garden table with, you know, a big umbrella, and I've got, you know, all the stuff I need apart from a big screen. That's one thing I miss. But, you know, okay, pick up the laptop, phones, everything. Go and sit out there, but it just doesn't feel right. The office I'm in now, my home office, is just set up perfectly for working in. Whereas everything else isn't, and therefore I don't feel like it's somewhere I want to work in as much as I do in here. So I've tried that, but I find it hard. I know other people think it's great. I'm going to go down the coffee shop, and that's like, well, there's loads of other people in there talking.
Yeah, I've never done that. I'll just listen to all their conversations.
I do it, but the thing with me is I will go down there, sit in the coffee shop for half an hour and go... Exactly like you just said, Marcus, who I prefer to work at my own desk. Yeah. And then I go home again. But in the act of doing all of that, I've remotivated myself.
Yeah. So you could just go and get a coffee.
I could have, yeah. And to be honest, sometimes that's what happens. It turns into the take a break one, doesn't it? But, you know, just that changing that environment kickstarts you, I think, sometimes.
I do feel like a fraud in the design world, because I've never worked from a coffee shop successfully. Mm. I don't think I've even tried lately to work from a coffee shop.
Then you are a failure.
Not sure
as a human
I ever
being.
Have actually.
I'd really struggle
just because I can't.
We've got a Costa down in the village, and I don't think I could actually get a table. So it really would be pointless. I'd end up in the pub. Now there's a thought.
And yeah, what's the problem with that? I'm trying to see.
There isn't a problem with that.
No, exactly.
I even have
alcohol. Alcohol is not a good way of motivating you, just to be clear.
No. Or smoking, kids.
Right. So that's it. That's my list of I don't know, I have many motivational ideas. I'm going to quickly run through them before we then move on. So we had the Pomodoro technique, habit apps that Lee added in, reward yourself, finish the day on an uncompleted task, decide up front what you want to do today, keep a completed task list, rate your task by energy level, break down big tasks into smaller next steps, change your working environment, work with your body's rhythm, put on some music, commit yourself to a deadline, be clear about what your end goal looks like, identify and address your obstacles, take a break, switch tasks, and close those notifications, kids. So there you go. That's I think that was, there's actually some solid good advice in there.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
I know. Right. Let's quickly do our second sponsor for the show, and then we will wrap things up with Marcus's joke. Our second sponsor is Free Agent. I've said it once, I will say it again. I'm a huge fan of Free Agent. Absolutely love it. Use it every single day of my life. And that, yes, kids, that does include Christmas Day, where I do like to go in and see how much money I have.
Who are these kids? Are we now saying that everybody listening,
everyone that listens,
younger
is kids
than us and are now kids?
Well, probability suggests that yes, they are younger than us. So anyway, so one of the things that I love about Free Agent is I love the way it manages invoices and payments. Such a slick process. So you could create your own invoicing templates to be consistent with your brand and stuff, because, you know, if you're a designer, you care about that kind of thing. You can easily put together invoices in just a few minutes. It's so, so simple. It works out all the kind of extra stuff you need, like VAT and all that kind of thing. It will just add it on because it knows whether your contact is in the European Union, blah, blah, blah. Includes all of your payment details and also allows you to hook it up with online payment systems so people can pay directly via PayPal or a credit card online. Dead, dead simple. You can also create reoccurring invoices, which is really very useful if you manage to create ongoing revenue streams and you succeed in doing the holy grail of the freelancing world and get yourself on some kind of retainer. All of that can be managed through Free Agent really easily. And it'll even automatically send out emails to chase late payments. So you can't get much better than that. And you can find out more about Free Agent. Seriously, if you are considering setting up a business, if you're using Excel, or using some big ass system like Sage, get rid of it all and go Free Agent. I honestly can't say you will regret it. So boagworld.com/freeagent, check it out. Marcus, joke, please.
This is my wife's current favourite joke.
Ooh.
So, here we go. Wondering just how many sheep he currently has grazing in his field, the farmer asks his sheepdog to go out and count them. The dog runs into the field, counts them, and then runs back to his master. "So," asks the farmer, "how many sheep are there?" 40, replies the dog. "What? How can there be 40? I only bought 38. "I know," said the dog, "but I rounded them up."
Oh, that is terrible.
Oh, I've that got a joke. Can I tell a joke?
Oh, yeah, do a joke, Lee, do a joke.
The inventor of the self-predictive text died this week. His fun fair will be next monkey.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think that, do you remember what you were saying about some jokes are better written now? Yes, very good.
Come on, all right. Paul, give us a joke, Paul, give us a joke.
I haven't got a joke this week.
See?
Paul failed last week. Now he knows how I feel every week.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. So, in theory, next week we have Andy Budd joining us to talk about building a successful agency. I say in theory because, you know, after this week. Yeah, it might not be asked.
Do I have to be on again next week?
Oh. You might well end up, no. Andy's all booked in, it's all great. So next week we'll be talking about running a successful agency, which I'm sure will be a great show. Until then, thank you for listening and goodbye.
Bye. I'm